Memoirs of David Brennan, written by Jonathan Edwards, read by Peter John Parises, also known as Brian Dean. All of my audios are not copyrighted. Please feel free to make as many copies as you desire. Chapter 3, From His Licensure to His Examination and Commission as a Missionary. Quote, July 30th, 1742. Rode from Danbury to Southbury, preaching there from 1 Peter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity, etc. Had much of the comfort, presence of God in this exercise. I seem to have power with God in prayer, and power to get a hold of the hearts of the people in preaching. July 31st, I was calm and composed, as well as greatly refreshed and encouraged, unquote. It appears in his diary that he continued in the sweetness and tranquility almost through the whole of the next week. Quote, Lord's Day, August 8th. In the morning I felt comfortably in secret prayer. My soul was refreshed with the hopes of the heathen coming home to Christ, was much resigned to God, and thought it was no matter what became of me. Preached both parts of the day at Bethlehem from Job chapter 14, verse 14. If a man die, he shall live again, etc. It was sweet to me to meditate on death. In the evening, felt very comfortably, and cried to God fervently in secret prayer, unquote. It appears by his diary that he continued through the three next days, engaged with all his might in the business of religion, and in almost a constant enjoyment of its comforts. Quote, August 12th, this morning and last night, I was exercised with sore inward trials. I had no power to pray, but seemed shut out from God. I had in a great measure lost my hopes of God's sending me among the heathen afar off, and of seeing them flock home to God. I saw so much of my vileness that I wondered that God would let me live, and how people did not stone me, much more that they would ever hear me preach. It seemed as though I never could nor should preach anymore. Yet about 9 or 10 o'clock, the people came over, and I was forced to preach. And blessed be God, He gave me His presence and spirit in prayer and preaching, so that I was much assisted, and spake with power from Job 14:14. Some Indians cried out in great distress. Footnote. It was in a place near Kent, in the western borders of Connecticut, where there is a number of Indians. End of footnote. And all appeared greatly concerned. After we had prayed and exhorted them to seek the Lord with consistency, and hired an English woman to keep a kind of school among them, we came away about 1 o'clock and came to Judah, about 15 or 16 miles. There God was pleased to visit my soul with much comfort. Blessed be the Lord for all things I meet with. Unquote. It appears that the next 2 days he had much comfort and had his heart much engaged in religion. Quote, Lord's Day, April 15th. Felt much comfort and devotedness to God this day. At night, it was refreshing to get alone with God and pour out my soul. Oh, who can conceive of the sweetness of communion with the blessed God but those who have experienced it? Glory to God forever, that I may taste heaven below. August 16th. Had much comfort in secret prayer in the morning. Felt sweetly somber times in prayer this day, but was much perplexed in the evening with vain conversation. August 17th, exceedingly depressed in spirit. It cuts and wounds my heart to think how much self-exhortation, spiritual pride, and warmth of temper I have formerly had intermingled with my endeavors to promote God's work, and sometimes I long to lie down at the feet of opposers and confess what a poor, imperfect creature I have been and still am. Lord, forgive me and make me for the future wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Afterwards, enjoy considerable comfort and delight of soul. August 18th. Spent most of this day in prayer and reading. I see so much of my own extreme vileness that I feel ashamed and guilty before God and man. I look to myself like the vilest fellow in the land. I wonder that God stirs up his people to be so kind to me. August 19th. This day, being about to go from Mr. Bellamy at Bethlehem, where I had resided some time, I prayed with him and two or three other Christian friends. We gave ourselves to God with all our hearts to be his forever. Eternity looked very near to me while I was praying. If I never should see these Christians again in this world, it seemed but a few moments before I should meet them in the in another world. August 20th. I appeared so vile to myself that I hardly dared to think of being seen, especially on account of spiritual pride. However, tonight I enjoyed a sweet hour alone with God at Ripton. I was lifted above the frowns and flatteries of this lower world, had a sweet relish of heavenly joys, and my soul did, as it were, get into the eternal world and really tasted heaven. I had a sweet season of intercession for dear friends in Christ, and God helped me to cry fervently for Zion. Blessed be God for this season. August 21. Was much perplexed in the morning. Towards noon, enjoyed more of God in secret. Wasn't able to see that it was best to throw myself into the hands of God, to be disposed of according to his pleasure, and rejoiced in such thoughts. In the afternoon, rode to New Haven. Was much confused all the way. Just at night, underwent such a dreadful conflict as I have scarce ever felt. I saw myself exceeding vile and unworthy, so that I was guilty and ashamed that that anybody should bestow any favor on me or show me any respect. Lord's Day, August 22nd. In the morning, continued still in the perplexity. In the evening, enjoyed comfort sufficient to overbalance all my late distresses. I saw that God is the only soul satisfying portion, and I really found satisfaction in him. My soul was much enlarged in sweet intercession for my fellow men everywhere, and for many Christian friends in particular in distant places. August 23rd. Had a sweet season in secret prayer. The Lord drew near to my soul and filled me with peace, divine consolation. Oh, my soul tasted the sweetness of the upper world and was drawn out in prayer for the world, that it might come home to Christ. Had much comfort in the thoughts and hopes of the ingathering of the heathen. Was greatly assisted in intercession for Christian friends. Unquote. He continued still in the same frame of mind the next day, but in a less degree. August 25th, quote, in family prayer, God helped me to climb up near him, so that I scarce ever got nearer, unquote. The four next days, he appears to have been the subject of desertion, and of comfort and fervency in religion, interchangeably, together with a sense of vileness and unprofitableness. Quote, August 30th, felt somewhat comfortably in the morning, conversed freely with some friends, was in a serious, composed frame, and prayed at a certain house with some degree of sweetness. Afterwards, at another house, prayed privately with a dear Christian friend or two, and I think I scarce ever launched so far into the eternal world as them. I got so far out on the broad ocean that my soul with joy triumphed over all the evils on the shores of mortality. I think time, in all its gay amusements and cruel disappointments, never appeared so inconsiderable to me before. I was in a sweet frame. I saw myself nothing, and my soul reached after God with intense desire. Oh, I saw what I owed to God in such a manner as I scarce ever did. I knew that I had never lived a moment to him as I should do Indeed, it appeared to me that I had never done anything in Christianity. My soul longed with a vehement desire to live to God. In the evening, sang and prayed with a number of Christians. Felt the powers of the world to come in my soul in prayer. Afterwards, prayed again privately with a dear Christian or two, and found the presence of God. Was somewhat humbled in my secret retirement. Felt my ingratitude because I was not wholly swallowed up in God. Unquote. He was, in a sweet frame, great part of the next day. Quote, September 1, went to Judah to the ordination of Mr. Judd, Mr. Bellamy, priest, from Matthew chapter 24, verse 46. Blessed is the servant, etc. I felt very solemn most of the time, had my thoughts much on that time our Lord will come. That time refreshed my soul much. Only I was afraid I should not be found faithful because I have so vile a heart. My thoughts were much in eternity where I love to dwell. Because, blessed be God for this solemn season. Rode home tonight with Mr. Bellamy, conversed with some friends till it was very late, and then retired to rest in a comfortable frame. September 2nd, about 2 in the afternoon, I preach from John, chapter 6, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And God assisted me in some comfortable degree, but more especially in my first prayer. My soul seemed then to launch quite into the eternal world and to be, as it were, separated from this lower world. Afterwards, preached again from Isaiah chapter 5, verse 4. What could have been done more, etc.? God gave me some assistance, but I saw myself a poor worm, unquote. On Friday, September 30, complains of having but little life in the things of God, the former part of the day, but afterwards speaks of sweetness and enlargement. Quote, September 4th, much out of health, exceedingly depressed in soul, and at awful distance from God. Towards night, especially, spent time in profitable thoughts on Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of spirit of life, etc. Near night, had a very sweet season. And my God enabled me to wrestle ardently for the advancement of the Redeemer's kingdom. Pleaded earnestly for my own dear brother John, that God would make him more of a pilgrim and stranger on the earth, and fit him for singular servableness in the world. And my heart sweetly exulted in the Lord, in the thoughts of any distresses that might alight on him or on me, in the advancement of Christ's kingdom. It was a sweet and comfortable hour unto my soul, while I was indulged with freedom to plead, not only for myself, but also for many other souls. Lord's Day, September 5th, preached all day, was so strengthened and assisted in the afternoon. More especially in the evening, had a sense of unspeakable failure in all life. I found, alas, that I had never lived to God in my life. September 6th, was informed that they only waited for an opportunity to apprehend me with preaching at New Haven. Late so that might imprison me. This might be more solemn and serious, and to quit all hopes of the world's friendship, is to me a further sense of my vileness and just desert of the much more from the hand of God, though not from the hand of man. Retired into a convenient place in the woods and prayed the matter before God. September 7th, had some relish of divine things in the noontime. Afterwards, felt much more barren and melancholy. Went to New Haven to a friend's house at a distance from the town to remain undiscovered and yet have opportunity to do privately with friends which come to commencement. September 8th felt very sweetly when I first rose. In family prayer I had some enlargement, but not much, till Trinity came up before me and looked near. Some sweetness in the thoughts of bidding of dying. Oh, this tiresome world. Though some time ago I reckoned, seeing my dear friends at commencement, yet being now the opportunity for fear of imprisonment, I felt totally as contented to spend this day alone in the woods. Have done, if I had been allowed to go to town. Felt weaned from the world today. In the afternoon, discoursed on divine things with a Christian friend. We were both refreshed, and I prayed with a sweet sense of the blessedness of communion with God. I think I scarcely enjoyed more of God in any one prayer. Oh, it was a blessing indeed to my soul. I know not that I ever saw so much of my own nothingness in my life. Never wondered so that God allowed me to preach His word. This has been a sweet and comfortable day in my soul. Blessed be God. Pray again with my dear friend, with something of the divine presence. I long to be wholly conformed to God and transformed into His image. September 9th. Spent much of the day alone. Enjoyed the presence of God in some comfortable degree. Was visited by some dear friends and prayed with them. Wrote sundry letters to friends. Felt religion in my soul while writing. Enjoyed sweet meditations on some scriptures. In the evening, went very privately into town from the place of my residence at the farms and conversed with some dear friends. Felt sweetly in singing hymns with them and made my escape to the farms again without being discovered by any enemies as I knew of. Thus, the Lord preserved me continually. September 10th. Longed with intense desire after God. My whole soul seemed impatient to be conformed to Him and to become holy as He is holy. In the afternoon, prayed with a dear friend privately and had the presence of God with us. Our souls united together to reach after a blessed immortality, to be unclothed of the body of sin and death, and to enter the blessed world where no unclean thing enters. Oh, with what intense desire did our souls long for that blessed day, that we might be freed from sin and forever live to and in our God. In the evening, took leave of that house, but first knelt down and prayed. The Lord was of a truth in the midst of us. It was a sweet parting season. Felt in myself much sweetness and affection in the things of God. Blessed be God for every such divine gale of His Spirit to speed me on in His way to the New Jerusalem. Felt some sweetness afterwards and spent the evening in conversation with friends and prayed with some life and retired to rest very late. Unquote. The five next days, he appears to have been in an exceedingly comfortable frame of mind, for the most part, and to have been the subject of the like heavenly exercises as are often expressed in preceding passages of his diary, such as having his heart much enlarged for God, wrestling with Him in prayer with power and urgency, enjoying at times sweet calmness and composure of mind, giving himself up to God to be His forever, with great complacency of mind, being wholly resigned to the will of God, that he might do with him what he pleased, longing to improve time, having the eternal world, as it were, brought nigh, longing after God in holiness, earnestly desiring a complete conformity to him, and wondering how poor souls do to exist without God. Quote, September 16th. At night, enjoyed much of God in secret prayer. Felt an uncomfortable resignation to be and to do what God pleased. Some days past, I felt great perplexity on account of my past conduct. My bitterness and want of Christian kindness and love has been very distressing to my soul. The Lord forgive me my unchristian warmth and want of spirit of meekness. The next day, he speaks much resignation, calmness, and peace of mind, and near views of the eternal worlds. September 18th. Felt some compassion for souls, and mourned that I had no more. I felt much more kindness, meekness, gentleness, and love towards all mankind than ever. I longed to be at the foot of my enemies and persecutors, enjoyed some sweetness in feeling my soul conformed to Christ Jesus and given away to Him forever. The next day, he speaks of much dejection and discouragement from an apprehension of his own unfitness ever to do any good in preaching, but blesses God for all dispensations of providence and grace, finding that by all God weaned him more from the world, made him more resigned. The next 10 days he appears to have been, for the most part, under great degrees of melancholy, enjoying dejected and discouraged, speaks of his being ready to give up all for gone respecting the cause of Christ, and exceedingly longing to die, yet had some sweet seasons and intervals of comforts and special assistance and enlargements in the duties of religion and in performing public services, and considerable success in them. September 30th, quote, still very low in spirit, I did not know how to engage in any work or business, especially to correct some disorders among Christians. Felt as though I had no power to be faithful in that regard. However, towards noon, I preached from Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, and thou shalt remember, etc., and was enabled with freedom to reprove some things in Christian conduct. I thought very unsuitable and irregular, insisted near 2 hours of this subject, unquote. Through this and the 2 following weeks, he passed through a variety of exercises. He was frequently dejected and felt inward distresses and sometimes sunk into the depths of melancholy, at which turns he was not exercised about the state of the soul with regard to the favor of God and his interest in Christ, but about his own spiritual infirmities and unfitness for God's service. His mind appears sometimes extremely depressed and sunk with a sense of inexpressible vileness, but in the meantime, he speaks of many seasons of comfort and spiritual refreshment. Within his heart was encouraged and strengthened in God and sweetly resigned to his will. Of some seasons of very high degree of spiritual consolation and of his great longings afterwards, holiness and conformity to God, of his great fear of offending God and of his heart being sweetly melted in religious duties, of his longing for the advancement of Christ's kingdom, and of his having, at times, much assistance in preaching, and of remarkable effects on the audience. Lord's Day, October 17th. Had a considerable sense of my helplessness and inability. Saw that I must be dependent on God for all I want, and especially when I went to the place of public worship. I found I could not speak a word for God without his special help and assistance. I went into the assembly trembling, as I frequently do, under the sense of my own insufficiency to do anything in the cause of God as I ought to do. But it pleased God to afford me much assistance, and there seemed to be a considerable effort and effect on the hearers. In the evening, I felt a disposition to praise God for his goodness to me, that he had enabled me in some measure to be faithful. And my soul rejoiced to think that I had thus performed the work of one day more, and was one day nearer my eternal, and I trust my heavenly home. Oh, that I may be faithful to the death, fulfilling as an hireling my day, till the shades of the evening of life shall free my soul from the toils of the day. This evening, in secret prayer, I felt exceedingly solemn, and such longing desires after deliverance from sin and after conformity to God has melted my heart. Oh, I long to be delivered from this body of death. I felt inward pleasing pain that I could not be conformed to God entirely, fully, and forever. I scarce ever preach without being first visited with inward conflicts and soul trials. Blessed be the Lord for these trials and distresses, as they are blessed for my humbling. October 18th, in the morning I felt some sweetness, but still pressed through trials of soul. My life is a constant mixture of consolations and conflicts, and will be so till I arrive at the world of spirits. October 19th, this morning and last night, I felt a sweet longing in my soul after holiness. My soul seemed as to reach and stretch towards the mark of perfect sanctity, that it was ready to break with longings. October 20th, very infirm in body, exercised with much pain, and very lifeless in divine things. Felt a little sweetness in the evening. October 21st, had a very deep sense of the vanity of the world most of the day. Had little more regard to it than if I had been to go into eternity in the next hour. Through divine goodness, I felt very serious and solemn. Oh, I love to live on the brink of eternity in my views and meditations. This gives me a sweet, awful, and reverent sense and apprehension of God and divine things when I see myself, as it were, standing before the judgment seat of Christ. October 22nd, uncommonly weaned from the world today, my soul delighted to be a stranger and pilgrim on the earth. I felt a disposition in me never to have anything to do with this world. The character given of some of the ancient people of God in Hebrews 11:13 was very pleasing to me. They confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers on the earth by their daily practice, and oh, that I could always do so. Spent some considerable time in a pleasant grove in prayer and meditation. Oh, it is sweet to be thus weaned from friends and from myself and dead to the present world, that so I may live wholly to and upon the blessed God. Saw myself little, low, and vile in myself. In the afternoon, preached in Bethlehem from Deuteronomy 8:2. God helped me to speak to the hearts of dear Christians. Blessed be the Lord for this season. I trust they and I shall rejoice on this account to all eternity. Dear Mr. Bellamy came in while I was making the first prayer, being returned home from a journey. And after meeting, we walked away together and spent the evening in sweetly conversing on divine things and praying together with sweet and tender love to each other, and retired to rest with our hearts in a serious spiritual frame. October 23rd, somewhat perplexed and confused, rode this day from Bethlehem to Simsbury. Lord's Day, October 24th, felt so vile and unworthy that I scarce knew how to converse with human creatures. October 25th, at Turkey Hills. In the evening, I enjoyed the divine presence in secret prayer. It was a sweet and comfortable season to me. My soul longed for the living God, enjoyed a sweet solemnity of spirit, and longing, desired after the recovery of divine image in my soul. Then shall I be satisfied when I shall awaken God's likeness and never before. October 26th, at West Suffield. Underwent the most dreadful distresses, under a sense of my own worthiness. It seemed to me that I deserved rather to be driven out of the place than to have anybody treat me with any kindness or come to hear me preach. And verily my spirits were so depressed at this time, as at many others, that it was impossible I should treat immortal souls with faithfulness. I could not deal closely and faithfully with them. I felt so infinitely vile in myself. Oh, what dust and ashes I am to think of preaching the gospel to others. Indeed, I never can be faithful for one moment, but shall certainly die with untempered mortar. If God do not grant me special help. In the evening, I went to the meeting house, and it looked to me near as easy for one to rise out of the grave and preach as for me. However, God afforded me some life and power, both in prayer and sermon, and was pleased to lift me up and show me that He could enable me to preach. Oh, the wonderful goodness of God to so vile a sinner. Returned to my quarters and enjoyed some sweetness and prayer alone, and mourned that I could not live more to God. October 27th, I spent the forenoon in prayer and meditation. Was not a little concerned about preaching in the afternoon. Felt exceedingly without strength and very helpless indeed, and went into the meeting house, ashamed to see any come to hear such an unspeakable, worthless wretch. However, God enabled me to speak with clearness, power, and pungency. But there was some noise and turmoil in the assembly that I did not well like, and I endeavored to bear public testimony against it with moderation and mildness, though the current of my discourse in the evening was enabled to be in some measure thankful and devoted to God, unquote. The frames and exercises of his mind during the four next days were similar to those of the 2 days past, except intervals of considerable degrees of divine peace and consolation. The things expressed within the space of the three following days, as such as these, some seasons of dejection, mourning for being so destitute of the exercises of grace, longing to be delivered from sin, pressing after more knowledge of God, seasons of sweet consolation, precious and intimate converse with God in secret prayer, sweetness of Christian conversation, etc. Within this time, he wrote from Suffield to Eastbury, Hebron, and Lebanon. Quote, November 4th at Lebanon. Saw much of my nothingness most of this day, but felt concerned that I had no more sense of my insufficiency and unworthiness. Oh, it is sweet lying in the dust, but it is distressing to feel in my soul that hell of corruption which still remains in me. In the afternoon, had a sense of sweetness of a strict, close, and constant devotedness to God, and my soul was comforted with his consolations. My soul felt a pleasing yet painful concern, lest I should spend some moments with Outcott. Oh, may I always live to God. In the evening, I was visited by some friends and spent the time in prayer and such conversation as tended to our edification. It was a comfortable season to my soul. I felt an intense desire to spend every moment for God. God is unspeakably gracious to me continually. In times past, he has given me inexpressible sweetness in the performance of duty. Frequently, my soul has enjoyed much of God, but has been ready to say, Lord, it is good to be here. And so, to indulge sloth while I have lived on the sweetness of my feelings, but of late, God has been pleased to keep my soul hungry almost continually, so that I have been filled with a kind of pleasing pain. When I really enjoy God, I feel my desires of him the more insatiable, and my thirstings after holiness the more unquenchable. And the Lord will not allow me to feel as though I were fully supplied and satisfied, but keeps me still reaching forward. I feel barren and empty, as though I could not live without more of God. I feel ashamed and guilty before him. I see that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. I cannot live to God. Oh, for holiness. Oh, for more of God in my soul. Oh, this pleasing pain. It makes my soul press after God. The language of it is, then shall I be satisfied when I awake in God's likeness. But never, never before. And consequently, I am engaged to press towards the mark day by day. Oh, that I may feel this continual hunger and not be retarded, but rather animated by every cluster from Cana, to reach forward in the narrow way for the full enjoyment and possession of the heavenly inheritance. Oh, that I may never loiter in my heavenly journey. Unquote. These insatiable desires after God and holiness continue the 2 next days. With a great sense of his own exceeding unworthiness and nothingness of the things of this world. Quote, Lord's Day, November 7th, at Millington. It seemed as if such an unholy wretch as I never could arrive at that blessedness to be holy as God is holy. At noon, I longed for sanctification and conformity to God. Oh, that is the all, the all. The Lord help me to press after God forever. November 8th, towards night, enjoyed much sweetness in secret prayer, so that my soul longed for an arrival in the heavenly country, the blessed paradise of God. through divine goodness, I have scarce seen the day for 2 months in which death has not looked so pleasant to me at one time or other of the day, that I could have rejoiced that the present should be my last, notwithstanding my present inward trials and conflicts. I trust the Lord will finally make me a conqueror, and more than a conqueror, that I shall be able to use this triumphant language. O death, where is thy sting? And O grave, where is thy victory? Unquote. Within the next 10 days, the following things are expressed: longing and wrestling to be holy and to live to God, a desire that every single thought might be for God, feeling guilty that his thoughts were no more swallowed up in God, sweet solemnity and calmness of mind, submission and resignation to God, great weanedness from the world, abasement in the dust, grief in some vain conversation that was observed, sweetness from time to time in secret prayer and in conversing and praying with Christian friends. And every day he appears to have been greatly engaged in the great business of religion and living to God without interruption. Quote, November 19th at New Haven. Received a letter from the Reverend Mr. Pembington of New York, desiring me speedily to go down thither and consult about the Indian affairs in those parts, and to meet certain gentlemen there who were entrusted with those affairs. My mind was instantly seized with concern, so I retired with 2 or 3 Christian friends and prayed, and indeed, it was a sweet time for me. I was enabled to leave myself and all my concerns with God. In taking leave of my friends, I rode to Ripton and was comfortable in an opportunity to see and converse with dear Mr. Mills. Unquote. In the 4 next following days, he was sometimes oppressed with the weight of that great affair, about which Mr. Pemberton had written to him, but was enabled from time to cast his burden on the Lord, and to commit himself and all his concerns to him. He continued still in a sense of the excellency of holiness, longing after it, and earnest desires for the advancement of Christ's kingdom in the world, and had from time to time sweet comfort in meditation and prayer. Quote, November 24th, came to New York, felt still much concerned about the importance of my business, put up many earnest requests to God for his help and direction, was confused with the noise and turmoil of the city, enjoyed but little time alone with God, but my soul longed after him. November 25th, spent much time in prayer and supplication, was examined by some gentlemen of my Christian experiences and my acquaintance with divinity, and some other subjects, in order to my improvement in that important affairs of evangelizing the heathen. Footnote. These gentlemen who examined Mr. Brenner were the correspondents in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania of the Honorable Society of Scotland for propagating Christian knowledge, to whom was committed the management of their affairs in those parts, and who were now met at New York. End of footnote. And was made sensible of my great ignorancy and unfitness for public service. I had the most abasing thoughts of myself, I think, that ever I had. I thought myself the worst wretch that ever lived. It hurt me and pained my very heart that anybody should show me any respect. Alas, my thoughts, how sadly they are deceived in me. How miserably would they be disappointed if they knew my inside, oh, my heart. And in this depressed condition, I was forced to go and preach to a considerable assembly before some grave and learned ministers, but felt such a pressure from the sense of my vileness, ignorancy, and unfitness to appear in public that I was almost overcome with it. My soul was grieved for the congregation that they should sit there to hear such a dead dog as I preach. I thought to myself infinitely indebted to the people, and longed that God would reward them with the reward of his grace. I spent much of the evening alone.